Moving on here on the Jefferson Exchange, the idea of slavery is so repugnant to so many people, it's just hard to believe that anything like it takes place in our time. But it does, in our time and our place. Human trafficking is the term used now to indicate people employed against their will, as sex workers and in other trades as well. A Rogue Valley-based organization called Shine a Light plans a fundraiser soon to both raise awareness as well as money. It's a yoga fundraiser, so you might have to be flexible to take part, at least physically. Let's get into the details of the fundraiser and the cause. Selena Rapond is the director of Shine a Light. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us here, Jeff.
We also have with us Susan Moen, who's a regular to the Jefferson Exchange as the head of Jackson County's Sexual Assault Response Team, or simply SART. Susan, good to see you back in the studio.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Stacia Hackman is with us as well. She's a sex trafficking survivor and a speaker at last year's Shine a Light. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Stacia, I want to start with you. Tell us about what happened to you.
For me, it was an expansion of my boundaries. For me, it was a man who claimed that he cared about me, who claimed that he loved me and wanted to take care of me. I believed those because I needed to.
So everything that I do for you, was that the kind of line he was giving you and you had to do it back for him?
Basically, yes. Mm-hmm.
Susan Moen, is that a fairly typical entree to being trafficked?
Absolutely. You know, folks who are approaching vulnerable, often youth, you know, are not saying, this is why I'm doing it. It's a gradual grooming into a situation in which the youth feel that this is the only person who cares about them, and then who then takes over caring for them and then starts to slowly initiate them into either, if you loved me, you would do this, or we're out of money, you need to help me support us.
This is not legal, therefore it is not something that a lot of people want to report statistics on. Do we have a good handle on how common trafficking is in the United States or elsewhere?
I think that the statistics that we have, we absolutely know, are vastly underreported. Mm-hmm. So you get extrapolations of this is the number of folks who come forward, and then you hear from, you know, FBI task force or whatever that says that's maybe 1% of what we know is exactly happening. So what we have to do is we have to respond to the issue not as not by knowing how many folks are experiencing it, but we have to respond by saying we're going to make all of our services, our world, really safe for folks who are experiencing this so that they can get resources even without having to come forward and say, I am being trafficked. Because very, very few of the folks that we end up providing services for are going to disclose in that direct of a way, certainly not initially.
Which raises the question for you, Stacia. I mean, how far into this relationship had you gotten before you realized that you might have fit the terminology for being trafficked?
For me, I was out of the relationship before I realized that that's what I was experiencing. And even in the first experience of being told this is what's happening and you might actually be a victim of sex trafficking, I didn't believe it. It took me going back into it the first time for me to actually wrap my brain around the fact that what they were saying was very true, that these things that I thought were unique to my situation were happening to all of the girls that were being inducted into that life.
So it was an after-the-fact kind of thing. It's like, wow, that was me. I was doing that. Wow, I didn't realize. So you didn't realize you fit the definition.
Exactly.
Selena Pond, tell us about your experience here, because I understand that you didn't know much about trafficking until just a couple of years ago.
I didn't, actually. I had been asked to teach. I was one of the yoga teachers at Shine a Light in 2014, I believe. Shine a Light was started by Mary Rogan, who had gone to a yoga workshop with Sean Korn. It was a taking yoga principles off the mat and taking them out into the world. So she had started this program. I had learned just a little bit about it. I think I had just maybe read a book about it, and so I heard about it happening in Cambodia. And I really didn't know it was very big here. I taught that year. It was an amazing experience just to teach there. And then in the spring of that year, after that had happened, that was the third year that she did hold the event, and spring of that year, right, she said she wasn't going to be able to do it anymore, and so I took it over. And really, it was from there that I really began to learn about the problem in the U.S. and especially up and down the I-5 corridor.
What makes the I-5 corridor so significant in sex trafficking?
So the I-5 corridor runs all the way from Mexico to Canada, and then we have all these big cities along the way, right? L.A.,
San Diego,
Sacramento, all the way up here to Portland, Seattle. So girls are picked up along the way in all of these small towns and then taken to these bigger cities where they don't know anyone. And this is after, like Susan was saying, they've been groomed for months and months. So they already have this attachment to the person who's trafficking them, and they don't know anybody in these cities, and so they're taken, moved around to these big cities. I think it's the same thing along like I-70 that runs along the middle of the country, right? These long freeways that have all these little towns along the way, those are the bigger areas. Is that correct?
Yeah, and then, you know, the traffickers advertise in online usually a week ahead of them showing up. And so it's literally
–
for girls or boys or for folks for sex parties, mm-hmm. or for, you know, a lot of times we all know about the back page, you know, and how that all transpired. But a lot of times there are code words that folks who utilize these services completely understand, or they use the word escort or companion. But so it's leapfrogging. They advertise, the folks in the towns and the cities, often regular customers, know when the caravan, if you will, is coming through. And then it's a loop that occurs again and again and again. So you'll get oftentimes the same folks being trafficked all the way up and all the way back repeatedly.
We're talking about human trafficking and a fundraiser coming up to fight human trafficking, the Shine a Light fundraiser, which is a yoga fundraiser. Selena Rapond is in charge of that. Stacia Hackman has stories to tell about her own sex trafficking. Susan Moen is with the Sexual Assault Response Team in Jackson County. And you can join the conversation on The Exchange. Your phone calls and emails are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Are yoga fundraisers common? I mean, I'm not doing yoga myself. I'm not really into, I mean, is this a common thing for
you
a
know,
fundraiser?
That's a good question. I don't know how common they are. And that's one of the things that Shine a Light wants to do as we expand. I mean, there are a lot of great organizations throughout the country doing amazing things. But This is a newer thing. These organizations that are being created merely to fund those other organizations so they can do what they're meant to do.
So Shine a Light's only function is to do this fundraiser for sex trafficking.
Exactly. Shine a Light is just merely raising money for, you know, here we're raising money for SART. We're also raising money for the Jackson County Sex Trafficking Task Force that Stacia is now the coordinator of. And Maslow, those are the three places that we're funding here. We're also funding some organizations throughout the country and in India. But I feel like there are many yoga studios who have people who want to do something, but how many of those places have how much time do they have to create a 501c3 and then go out and investigate, well, what organizations should we support? So that's what we want to do, is expand throughout the country and allow these people to do something with their time, help them organize, and then help spread funds to organizations who are getting stuff done so they can spend more time doing what they were designed to do.
So, Stacia, I've been using the terms human trafficking and sex trafficking interchangeably. Are there other kinds of human trafficking that are not sex trafficking?
Yes. We have labor trafficking falls under the umbrella of human trafficking, and that can look like many different things. People working inside of restaurants, people working inside of nail salons, people working as a domestic servant inside of a home, in fields, all kinds of different ways you can have somebody fall under the umbrella of labor trafficking as well.
And that's not just America, but all over the world we're talking
Correct.
About.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens actually at the fundraiser? If people do not do yoga, are there ways they can assist you? Or if they do yoga, what are they going to do while they're there?
Well, Contrary to your statement at the beginning of the show, you do not have to be flexible to go to the fundraiser.
There was kind of a double entendre too.
But you can sit in a chair and meditate while we're doing the class. It's a very gentle class. There are between 100 and 200 people there, so it's got to be kind of a basic class. You don't even have to come to the fundraiser to support us. You can go right onto the website, iwillshinealight.org, and you can donate. Everybody who's coming to the fundraiser is asked to donate or fundraise $108. So we have a fundraising set up on our website. You can create your own campaign and then send that out to your friends and family. Say, hey, I'm doing this yoga fundraiser. Help raise the money. And close to the end of the, when we get really close to the event, many people, what they want to do is they want to become angel donors. So they go onto people's specific profiles and they'll donate money to each person who's trying to raise the money to go. So you can jump on and actually participate, or you can just donate. At the event, this year we're going to have Rebecca Bender speak. She is also a survivor from the area, from Grants Pass. She has her own organization called the Rebecca Bender Initiative that we're also supporting this year. So it'll be also informative in addition to the yoga. It'll be 108 minutes of yoga.
Ah, that's the 108. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you were the speaker last year, Stacia, is that right?
Yes, I was.
And what's it like to tell your story to people now?
For me, it helps me knowing that I can take something that was so damaging and so tragic in my world that just completely flipped everything that I thought I knew about me, about the world, and be a light and be somebody who can speak for people who just don't have that voice or don't know that they need that voice and let them know you're not alone. Or educate my community on the issue and the fact that it's happening right here in our own backyard.
Have people come up after you've spoken and said, oh my God, that happened to me?
I've had people ask questions mm-hmm. that made me believe that maybe they are questioning whether or not that's happened to them. But I have not had somebody come up to me and outright just say, I think I'm a survivor.
And what is the most common question then that people ask after you've spoken?
I feel like that's a loaded question because there's not really a common mm-hmm. question that people ask. It's all over the board. It's, mm-hmm. wait, is this really happening? It's that shock, that initial confusion. But then it's also, how did you get out? What did you do? And who helped you? And all kinds of different questions that I feel like are very thoughtful.
Were you able to extricate yourself from the situation rather quietly, or was there a lot of, was it kind of horrible?
I had help, and my journey was very cyclical. I went in and out. It took me a while to get past that shame and guilt that kept me kind of in that bondage mentally. So for me, it was several different people, several different organizations that worked in tandem to get me to a place where I could actually feel safe and confident to start doing that work on myself.
The shock certainly rings a bell, Susan Moen. I would think you probably have a lot of people thinking this happens in our society, but it does.
Yeah. I mean, it's when we get to the issue of anything that involves sexual violence, we know that the barriers to reporting, to coming forward and saying this has happened to me or this is happening to me, the barriers are profound. And that's, you know, that's a lot of what we really need to focus on is how do we figure out in our culture where we can create a way of saying these are crimes that are occurring against people. We should not be forcing them to face shame and embarrassment.
And it is the sex part that adds that. If people are just getting abused, like batted around, that's a different thing.
Yeah, if you look at the statistics of somebody feeling.
I didn't mean just.
Yeah, no. It's, feeling that they could report a physical assault. Look at the statistics there versus somebody who feels that they can safely report a sexual assault. And this is why a lot of cases perpetrators intentionally use sexual violence versus physical violence. It's not about the sex in most cases for the offender. It's about a tool that keeps their victims quiet.
Establishing power. So, Stacia Hackman, if people suspect either they are being trafficked or they suspect somebody else of being trafficked, what are some steps to take? I mean, what should people do in the way of outreach to try to help people?
I mean, there's many different ways that you can go about it. I know that there's the National Survivor Hotline that you can call that's run by Polaris, and they have resources there. People answer the phone, and you can ask a whole bunch of questions, or you can ask for resources. But locally, we have a task force that we are working on establishing in our community that is run through Community Works. And you can contact Community Works. You can contact SART. There's many different avenues that you can take to get answers for your questions if you don't really know what you're doing.
Susan?
I think one of the things that the trafficking task force is doing is training all of the service providers, medical counselors, all the places where they, all the people who might have contact with survivors who haven't yet disclosed. If we can train all of those service providers to know both how to recognize the signs of and how to get survivors connected with the right services, then that's going to really be helpful. So somebody who wants medical care can come in that avenue and then get connected to resources specifically to helping remove them from that situation.
Stacia mentioned the National Human Trafficking Hotline. We just pulled that up. It's 888-373-7888, 888-373-7888. We'll put that on our website as well. The Shine a Light fundraiser is January 27th, is that right?
January 27th at 5 p.m. at the Ashland Hills Hotel.
Is there still time for people to get in there?
There is still plenty of time.
Jeff.
Oh, really? I'm sure I'm busy.
Don't
then.
Have to be flexible, Jeff.
good, because I'm not right now. Great. Thanks so much for sharing the stories with us. Selena Rapond is the director of Shine a Light. Stacia Hackman is now the Jackson County Sex Trafficking Task Force Coordinator. Is that right?
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And Susan Moen joining us once again is the head of the Jackson County Sexual Assault Response Team, or SART. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange and opening our eyes just a little bit more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.